All this week, we're shining the spotlight on Joondalup, ABC Radio Perth and WA.
ABC Radio Perth has been talking about Joondalup and the surrounding suburbs all week. How much do we actually know about the place? Well, lucky we've got Richard Offen with us. Hello, Richard.
Hello.
Thank you for coming to Currumbine.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
What does this area mean to you?
It means coming and doing library talks, actually. I've done loads of talks for the City of Joondalup libraries, both the main one in Joondalup and Whitford's and various others. So I always have a lot of fun up here.
And you obviously know the area in terms of history. So I really want to know more about the place. Can we start with the Aboriginal history?
Well, I think we must.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The original inhabitants were, of course, the Whadjuk Noongar and the Yuut Noongar. And there was a particular family up here, the Urdal Kellers, who were a family group of the Yalagonga and prominent Aboriginals in the area. And it's actually from Urdal Keller that Joondalup derives its name. Now, the Noongar word is Joondalup. And that means, and I love this, the lake that glistens.
Yes, yes, isn't it beautiful?
Which is beautiful. And then we mustn't forget there's another side to the lake, although we're in Joondalup. There is another place called Wanneroo over the other side. Now, a wanna was a stick used by Aboriginal women for digging up root vegetables.
And that's where Wanneroo came
Wanneroo.
From.
Wanneroo. And roo means place of. So they presumably got the sticks. So next time you're digging the potatoes in the garden, you're using a wanna.
I like that very much.
Now,
how old is Joondalup and its neighbouring suburbs? So what do the history books...
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, of course, the Aboriginal people have been here for tens of thousands of years. But after the settlement by the British in 1829, this area was very remote from the tiny little town of Perth. And actually, as far as we know, the first explorer to come up here was a chap called John Butler. And he came up here in 1834. Now, John's an interesting character. We could do a programme on him.
Oh, yeah.
In his own right. He was from Liverpool. So he was a beetle.
You do that very well.
I won't go on. Just, and he was given a farm area on Freshwater Bay, down in what is now Peppermint Grove and Mosman Park. But he led a little excursion up here in 1834 to find some stray cattle.
Huh?
And why they thought they'd go north rather than anywhere else, I don't know. But he travelled about 48 kilometres up here with three others in search of the lost cattle. And came along the eastern shore, so the Wanneroo side, of Lake Joondalup. And Butler recorded seeing the large lakes and the areas. And he also noted, and this was the important bit, the quality of the soil.
Oh, yes.
Because, of course, they'd already realised that they'd been brought to a sand pit rather than a nice, fertile land. And the need for decent soil was very necessary.
Yep.
And as a result of that, eventually, the area around the lake was used for agriculture. And in 1837 and 38, further explorations of the district gave another very positive assessment of how good the soil was and that it would be good for farming. And the area was opened up for subdivision. But
and you can still see the crops along Wanneroo Road as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's still an area of market gardens and the like. But it's interesting that none of the speculators who took up land here actually came up and resided up here.
Oh.
Well, it was an awful long way from Perth, you
right.
know.
So
remember,
it was mainly
in those days, the railway line wasn't here.
No, and the freeway wasn't here.
And the freeway wasn't
either.
Here. So there were no decent roads. But in 1849, Patrick Marmion, after whom...
All of these names are coming up now,
right,
aren't they? Yes.
The road I've just driven up.
Yep.
He established a shore whaling station on 10 acres of leased land.
Yeah, tell me about this. I had no idea.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of whaling went on
In the 70s.
Well, up to the 70s, I should say. Well, that's right. But all the way down the coast, the reason there's a tunnel under the roundhouse was so that they could get the whale carcasses into Fremantle without dragging them round Arthur's Head. Now, the whaling station up here only operated for 3 years.
Really?
Because they couldn't get the staff.
Oh. You know,
there's a long way to come and there was nowhere to live.
Yes.
So it packed up. But there was a large brick chimney, presumably from the furnace where they rendered the whale fat down into whale oil.
Yeah.
That remained until 1953 and was an important landmark for navigating down
the coast. Is it still there?
No, it was demolished in 1953, unfortunately.
Okay, so nothing remains of the whaling station?
No, none whatsoever.
Just the records.
Now, eventually European settlers started to come up here to establish market gardens and piggeries and poultry farms and several vineyards, and that was the Italian population.
Yeah.
Most Italians had a little vineyard back in Italy, so they brought the culture with them. But by the outbreak of World War One in 1914, it was still mainly bush around here. And that enabled the local Noongar people to still live their traditional life, especially around the lake, you know, catching wildfowl and the like. Now, in 1921, so everybody got over the First World War, there was more life here and they were more agriculture. And it's interesting that in 1920 the first tomato seeds were planted in Western Australia.
In 1920?
Yeah.
Really?
They were brought from California, this is strange, by an Italian migrant who came here and planted them. Well, Italians need tomatoes.
So 100 years ago.
Yes, yeah, literally. And then a sawmill was established here, and that was cutting mainly jarrah into wooden blocks for roads. Plank roads over the sand were the usual thing. In fact, Oceanic Drive was a plank road right up until the 1950s.
Right. And lime burning also occurred?
Yes.
When was
that?
That
was, again, during the 20s and up. Now, lime was burnt to turn it into calcium oxide, which was slaked to turn it into calcium hydroxide. Bit of chemistry for you. There you go.
Very impressive.
Which was used in the building industry. It was the forerunner to Portland cement. So you mixed it with sand and the water made it set solid. And so that was another of the businesses.
Is there nothing you don't do, Richard, honestly? So look,
Sabrina doesn't turn up, I'll do the gardening for you.
So. That'd be great. Give us all wrong answers. So I was reading this amazing history from John Renner and Cy Byongling, the Joondalup story, you know, talking about, you know, when it was kind of planned out, I guess, by Alastair Hepburn and Professor Gordon Stevenson. As part of the corridor plan, and it was kind of put in place from the 50s and then worked on through the 70s and 80s.
That's right. And Leslie has bought this fantastic Joondalup Development Corporation annual report from 1986.
Oh, wow.
Which shows how they were reporting on the very early days of the development here. Now, it was a state government vision to have a commercial, civic and cultural hub in Perth's northern corridor. And it was meant to become, and I guess it has, a self-sustaining community with good public transport. And that was well ahead of its time. And in fact, it was one of the first of its kind in Australia.
Was it really?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
And the suburbs were fitted in round the old limestone quarries, which we just talked about.
Yeah.
And in fact, Connolly and Joondalup Golf Course are in, I think, one of the old quarry sites. So.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. And there's the hospital and the uni, and there's so much here
there
now.
There is indeed. And the city of Joondalup came into being on the 1st of July 1998. So it is a very young city, but it has established and thrived and has blossomed ever since.
It's really interesting to get to know it a little bit better, Richard.